Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is William Betzelberger. I am the host and founder of the Resilient Masculinity Podcast and Movement. Thank you for tuning in today and thank you for listening. If this is your first time here, Resilient Masculinity is a community I created by me to encourage, to inspire, and to equip men with the tools, the conversations, the knowledge, and the inspiration they need to become the resilient, capable, strong, independent men they are called to be, so they can lead their families, lead their communities, lead their churches and their businesses, that they can provide safety, stability, and service to those around them. So if that's what resonates with you, if that is a message that you take to heart, then I would appreciate it if you liked, if you commented, if you subscribed, and that you share this with those men in your life. So we're going to jump right in, and today we're going to talk about masculinity and protection, or masculinity and safety. For resilient masculinity, our three S's are safety, stability, and service, and that is how we encapsulate masculinity. Yes, masculinity provides first and foremost safety, and stability, and it's done in a spirit of service. So we're going to talk about safety today, and the reason we're going to bring that up is because no doubt you, unless you're living under a rock, probably have noticed or heard or seen footage or heard news commenters talk about what's going on in Ukraine and Russia's aggression towards them. So in case you have lived under a rock, the nation of Russia has invaded and is using deadly force against the nation of Ukraine. They have invaded Ukraine from multiple sides, through Odessa in the south, through, I don't know the other spots, but basically it's a three-sided attack, and they are invading Russia, or Ukraine. They're shelling cities, and there's a lot of death and destruction. And first and foremost, that is just, it's horrible. Okay, it's war. War is horrible, and it shouldn't come to us as a surprise. It's what nations do. Nations fight each other. They win, they lose, there's death. It is not good. It's not fun. No one wants this. And you know who's standing in the gap? Young men and older men. But men of valor, men of strength. Okay, I don't know if any one of you guys caught this yet, but they are making, Ukraine is making men anywhere between the ages of 16 and 60 stay in the country of Ukraine to take up arms and fight the Russians. Between the ages of 16 and 60, you are required to stay in the country and fight. Notice, it's men, it's not women, it's not children, although some of those young men in other societies, we may call them children. Okay, 16 in the United States is still considered a minor, still considered an adolescent, a teenager. In the United States, a 16-year-old cannot fight in war. A 16-year-old cannot vote. He cannot own a weapon. He cannot join the military. He cannot smoke, he cannot drink. There's a lot of things 16-year-olds in the United States cannot do. So I guess we could say they're children. But in the United States, we also have a rule where if you have parental permission, you join the military at 17. You could get married at 17. You just have to have your parents' permission, parents' approval. Then, of course, our legal age is 18. Although, if we ever, you know, God forbid, got invaded ourselves, I could see a lot of 16-year-olds taking up arms. But you'll notice, again, it's mainly, for the most part, generally speaking, going to be the men. And why is that? One, it's in our nature. Okay, one is God created men to be the protectors. That's just how he created men. He created males with the biology, with the muscular function, with the testosterone and with the desire to protect. He built our muscles so that he gave us muscles in certain areas so that we're physically, generally speaking, stronger. We have testosterone at higher levels than women, which also means our dominance and our aggression tend to be higher. Of course, I do say tend. There are obviously exceptions. Obviously. Again, that's a generalization. However, the exception doesn't make the rule. The rule is the rule, and the rule is men are protectors. And we also see that in our, just in our desire. Okay? If you've ever seen anyone get hurt, anyone get beat up, you'll notice oftentimes it's the men who rush in to protect, and it's the women who then bandage and nurse and nurture. There's a nurturing aspect and there's a protection aspect. And generally speaking, we have gender stereotypes, and that's not a bad thing. Because again, we were created for different jobs, different roles. We are created equally, yes. Our job functions are not always equal. Our job functions may not always be the same. Equal in value, yes. Equal in outcome, no. You also see that in, for example, the Titanic, when that sunk. What was the saying? The saying was women and children first. And I guarantee you, if any man, any male, I should say, tried to get on the lifeboat instead of letting a woman or her child on the lifeboat, he's one, we wouldn't consider him a man. Two, I'm sure no one on that ship would have considered him a man either. You see it throughout all times in war. We send our young men off to war. We send our young men off to fight, often leaving behind wife and children and mothers and old fathers and friends and careers so that they can fight and protect the life back home. And that is good. That is righteous, even in the right context. It is right for a man to protect that which is innocent. It is right for a man to protect that which is weaker. Okay? Protecting women and children is a good thing. And men, yes, you're expendable, and that should be an honor. Okay? It is an honor to be my family's protector. It is my honor to say I am willing to lay down my life for my family, for my wife, for our kids, if God ever blesses us with them, for our children. It is my honor and my privilege to be able to, if the calling came to it, to sacrifice myself, just as Christ sacrificed himself for the church and he died for her. It's so my honor to do so as well. What does that mean? Of course, all of this is politically incorrect. It's definitely not a message that we hear today. We hear a lot about women being in combat, women getting potentially drafted into the military. I know that one's been thrown out a few times. But what does this mean? Well, one, it means men strengthen up. Strengthen up. Strengthen your body, strengthen your mind. Get your spiritual life in order in case you are called to make that sacrifice. Okay, get right with God, if that's how you want to put it. Have a come to Jesus moment, if you will. Get your spiritual life in order. Get your mental life in order. You know, are you mentally prepared to make that sacrifice if it ever comes down to it? Are you mentally capable of taking someone's life if the situation called for it? I used to work armed security. That is a decision I had to make. Was I able, if the situation ever arose, to shoot an armed man, an armed aggressor, I should say, it could be a woman, but an armed aggressor who was killing and injuring innocent bystanders? And the answer was yes. Yes, these people are innocent. They deserve to be left alone. And if you hurt them, if you intend to kill them or cause them great bodily harm, I am here to keep that from happening. get your physical life in order. Are you able to physically do so? I might not be the strongest man. I'm not big and bulky. I've got the build of a runner or a golfer. You know, I'm pretty slim, but I can function. All right, I'm not obese. I'm not overweight, and I'm not too skinny. I am functionally strong. Again, I could always be better at that, and I am. And I'm working on that and incorporating that into my daily life, into my habits. Okay, so there's physical strength, there's mental, there's spiritual, and then there's practical, okay? Do you know how to shoot? Do you know how to shoot well? Do you know how to find places to take cover and concealment? Do you know the difference? Do you know how to get your family out of a bad situation? Things like that, you know, those are, now you might say that's more like Jason Bourne stuff or spy stuff. I just call it good survival instinct and good knowledge. Because if you want to be a good protector and a good person for safety reasons, right, like providing safety and protecting people and getting them out of harm's way, you need to know those things as well. So, men, be proud of that. Be proud of your calling to be a man. And don't let society say, you know, don't let society tell you, well, they're going to tell you, but don't bend the knee when they say, well, everyone's equal. Well, yeah, you're right. Everyone is equal. But not every job is equal in responsibility. Okay, I'm not sending my wife out to fight. That's not what her calling is. And I would be a barbarian if I expected my wife to take up arms. That is barbaric. Okay, I don't remember who it said or who said it, but that the society who requires their women to take up arms to defend it is not a country worth defending. That may be extreme, but I agree with the sentiment that, in general, it is not their job. It is not their place. That is our place as men. We are designed for it. We are capable of it. And women get to bear children. We don't. We get to be expendable. We get to be the ones who get to show the self-sacrificial love of Christ by sacrificing ourselves. And that's an honor that shouldn't be taken away from us. So what about women in combat? I don't like that. I don't like the idea of, again, sending our daughters out to fight our wars. That's for us men. I have no problem with women serving in the military. I do have a problem with them being in combat. And you could pull up even into, I think it's Deuteronomy 5:22 or 22:5, one of the two, that a woman does not wear that which pertaineth to a man, and a man is prohibited from wearing a woman's clothing. That phrase, that pertaineth to a man, can also be translated as the gear of a warrior. Okay, so if you take that approach, which I'm not necessarily the biggest Hebrew expert, so someone else could, you know, totally prove me wrong. But if that's the case, then God prohibits it. And if so, we should as well. Now, how about drafting? Again, drafting, I don't like on either end. Okay, to force men and women into military service, I think is absolutely, it goes against the ideas of freedom and liberty. Now, I do believe everyone can be mustered. I think all men can be mustered. But I think they should be forced to fight. So I think you can call upon all men to swell the ranks, but I don't necessarily believe they should be forced to fight. In that case, I think that religious exemptions, what do they call it? Conscientious objectors, that's a path. If you choose to do so, I for one am not morally opposed to protecting those that are innocent and weaker than I am with deadly force if the situation calls for it. So I'm not a religious exception there. but I don't like the idea of forcing people into service to be cannon fodder, especially not for the political elites who start wars but never fight them for them themselves. So I'm not going to be a pawn to someone else's grand scheme, if it's for oil or for money. That's not what I'm called to do. And you can't force me into that. That's where I draw the line on drafting. But men, in general, unless there's religious exemptions, you know, religious reasons for it, unless there's medical or mental reasons against it, men, take up your mantle and be willing to fight. And in doing so, protect that which you love. Show love by sacrificing and be willing to be that kind of an example of Christ's love that you will give yourself and you will sacrifice yourself. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this or enjoy my other episodes, like, share, subscribe, comment. Of course, I feel like this one's probably going to get a lot of comments, so I look forward to hearing from you all, and thank you very much. Till next time, take action and become the men you are called to be.